Episode 24. Cuz,
yes,
I only
sir.
have one thing to say to you, buddy.
What you
It's
got?
All in the reflexes.
I was actually thinking if we should open up with the toast.
Oh,
I don't know if you'd love this toast personally, but here's to the Army and Navy and the battles they've won, and here's to the colors that never run. From what I understand, Carpenter wrote that.
Oh, did
I
he?
Thought that was a real toast.
Huh, good for Carpenter. For those that don't know, we're talking about Big Trouble in Little China.
That's right, baby.
1986, Kurt Russell, some other people that we'll get into. But before we do any of that, let's get this out of the way pretty early. What you drinking, cuz?
Oh, man, what am I drinking? You chose me. Because we also do another podcast. That's the Bourbon Boys podcast. SEC football starting next week. We already did the preview for this year, but come check us out. Me, Gus, a couple other guys. I am drinking Bardstown Bourbon.
Bardstown Bourbon.
Yep.
Is it from Bardstown, Kentucky?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Where's Bardstown? Is it pronounced Bardstown?
Boy, I'm wishing you hadn't asked me these questions. I don't even know if there is a D in. I opened it. It was from somebody gave it to us for a crawfish boil, and I just found it squirreled away.
Okay. There you have it.
Yeah.
How is it?
It's good. The first, I think neat. It's a little ethanol-y for neat, but
okay.
I'm drinking on the rocks. It's lovely.
Okay. I have something
What
special
about
for
you?
tonight. I have something very special for tonight. Found it. Can't believe I found it. A lot of people don't like this cerveza per se, but I'm drinking Medalla Light.
Oh.
The official beer of Puerto Rico.
Yes. Yes. That is a good one. Where'd you find it?
ABC Liquor.
Really?
On Hillsborough. Yeah, it was, I went in there just to, cause I needed something. I was like, okay, like I'm done with a Miller Lite and Michelob Lights for now. Let me try to find something decent, even though ABC selection isn't great,
yeah,
but went in there and I just ran into it. I was like, holy shit, bought a couple 12 packs.
Wow. I have seen it around, but I know I must've seen it down there with y'all, right?
Yeah, I don't think you've seen it here. It's pretty hard to find here.
It looks from
the can when you came down for the wedding 21 years ago.
21. That's right.
Yeah, there was a lot of it flowing.
Yeah.
There was a lot of it flowing. Yeah.
And those tiny little cans of Coors Light.
That's right. 8 ounce cans. This is actually a 10 ounce can.
Oh.
So it's a skinny 10 ounce can. Yeah. Yeah.
Skinny 10 ounce can. That's extra small. It's like for a baby.
It's for a baby. And then I think I texted you and some other folks. I went into a Fresco y Mas grocery store. By the way, don't ever go into one of those unless you need specialty Latino or Hispanic food.
Okay.
Because it was not great.
Okay.
Like coolers were like not cool, water everywhere, things like that. So it's like, probably not the best place. Maybe if you want to get dry goods, but don't get produce and other shit like that.
Gotcha.
But,
no thanks.
But get your specialty Latino items there. But they did have beer. They had a 6-pack of Miller High Life 7 ounce bottles.
Yeah, did you send a picture of those?
I sent a picture.
Yeah.
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 It was two gulps gone. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to get it for the whatever.
Yeah.
The novelty.
The novelty of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
And you lived in Puerto Rico for a while, so tiny beers bring you back a little.
Yeah. They're actually, so they're good and they're bad. And I know we're going on a tangent. We're not in the movie yet, but.
What a surprise.
The thing about it in Puerto Rico is it's hot as balls.
Okay.
You can finish the beer with it still being cold. Which probably applies here in Florida as well, but that was the reasoning I heard of in Puerto Rico. The bad thing about it is you just knock those babies down,
right?
And you're not like
you have
just,
no idea how to comp- yeah
exactly compensate
yeah.
or anything.
Yeah, because 3 doesn't necessarily equal 3. It certainly doesn't equal 4. Maybe it equals 5.
Right. Yeah.
Or 5. Excuse me. Reverse that. But and this is not I'm not issuing a challenge to Puerto Ricans to try and like outdrink us here in Florida. But like you said, it's so hot here. But I feel like when it's super hot outside and I'm drinking a Coors Light, that's 3 gulps. I can do it. It's not a good thing. I'm not challenging anyone. I'm just saying when it's super hot, those beers go down like the water they pretty much taste like.
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry about that. But I got it, though. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Smaller, less tips, stays cooler quicker. That's good.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Back to Big Trouble.
Ooh.
In Little China,
oh,
1986,
yeah.
John Carpenter.
Yeah.
So we can talk a little bit about John Carpenter. The one, I knew that he did this movie.
Yes.
But it I didn't always know that he did this movie. It was a surprise to me when I found out that he did this movie. How about you?
Yes, it was a surprise because I know John Carpenter from a number of movies. He's done some, I don't know if he has a tremendous amount of direct like hits, but the ones he does are huge, like Halloween, The Thing. This is a cult classic. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it bombed at the box office.
Yes.
But it really picked up in VHS and it's got a cult following and it's widely renowned because I don't know if it's, anyways, whatever. He did this. He did They Live. He did Escape from New York, Escape from LA, Prince of Darkness, I think. He's done a number of movies. The Fog, yes, which is just awful, but not awful. No, it's just, these are intense movies, great movies. He's great. He does the soundtrack, music department on some of them. He's a incredible director and he's very, and this movie, there was so much studio interference. His next two movies were released into like virtually independently.
Wow.
Because he's just sick and tired of the nonsense. And he's a very principled guy. I don't necessarily agree with everything he said because the movie They Live was a commentary on capitalism and the negative effects of capitalism during the Reagan years. So while I don't necessarily share the same values as him, he is a very principled guy and it shows in his work and he's awesome. And The Thing, by the way, I know I zoomed right past it. Terrifying movie. Scared me when I was a little kid. Scared me like within the last 15 years when I watched it most recently. So the guy and Halloween, come on. That is like not a slasher movie. I guess it's a slasher.
It is a slasher movie.
Stalker slasher horror movie that all other movies want to be like. That's not hyperbole. The Friday the 13th and the Nightmare on Elm Street story or movies were invented because of the reaction to Halloween. So this guy's a trendsetter.
Right. Yeah, no, John Carpenter, I think you said it all there. Very famous.
Yep.
Yeah, just tremendous. A couple things about the writers or the... So one, it's Gary Goldman. When I first read it, I read Gary Oldman.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, he did what? No,
this guy can do everything.
Yeah, he's amazing. Holy cow. And then the other one is W.D. Richter. So I think W.D. Richter... So I don't know any of these guys, but... I think he was the original, it was his screenplay or his script that started. And it was supposed to be a Western with Hong Kong flair to it. And it just morphed into this. And I thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah. No, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say almost the exact opposite. It's a Kung Fu movie with a Western kind of feel. And then also, I don't know if I texted you this or I wrote it down, but it's Americanized, which I dig. Yeah. It seemed like everybody, because obviously it's in America, but it's in Chinatown. It's
right.
Like, this movie's just so creative. Everything about it is so creative. I wish I had, I don't know. Have you always liked it?
I've always liked it. I've always liked it. Yeah. So I'm a huge Kurt Russell fan.
Yes. Okay.
I don't know why. And I'm sure we'll get into it. The acting, this is very cheesy.
Oh, but intentionally.
Yeah, exactly. But I really, like this movie. And you know, in the green room, we talked about it. We generally talk about this. I didn't own this before. I was going to rent it. I'll be honest with you. I was going to rent it because this movie, I don't seek it out. But if it's on, I'll watch it. So I was like, okay, like I'll rent it. It was $3.99 to rent. And it was $4.99 to buy. So I bought it.
So, I had the same exact experience. Just real quick, that was a nice little surprise yesterday when I was, or not yesterday, but the day before when we talked about doing that. I was like, I'm just gonna go. Yeah, I was like, I'll see if it's $19.99, I will be renting. But $4.99, that was a steal.
Yeah, it's like when you used to go to like Target or Walmart or someplace like that, and they had the bin full of like 99-cent DVDs.
Oh yeah. Our esteemed former colleague of the Bourbon Boys, Larry, he and his girlfriend, now wife, used to do that in college. They bring a bargain bin movie home, that big budget, but maybe we'd have missed it or something. I think that was the first time I saw Rat Race, movie I find really funny. So
it's hilarious. Yeah.
Good night.
It's a race. Sorry.
No, that's great. That's a good, my goodness. You caught me by surprise.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Ugh. All right. Shake it off.
Yeah, shake it off. Okay, so we'll talk about Kurt Russell. I just want to go through the cast. I'll name them. I'll list them off, I guess you could say, and then we'll go into them individually.
Yeah.
If I can actually find them. Holy cow. I thought I had all this. I don't have it.
I got a couple of them, but...
No, go for it. Go for it. Okay.
Go ahead. No, let's hear your list.
All right. So we got Kurt Russell, Kim Cattrall or Cattrall?
Cattrall.
Cattrall. Okay. Mm-hmm. Dennis Dunn, James Hong, Victor Wong, Kate Burton, I don't know, Donnelly, Carter Wong, Peter Kwong is actually pretty popular. James Pax is pretty popular. Susie Pei?
Yep. Hi? Al Leong or whatever. Al Long, that dude.
Al Long. You know
who he is? Leong. No. Oh, yeah, he's in there. He's one of the henchmen.
Oh.
He has a really small part, but he's been in three like big time action movies.
Yeah. Oh, I know who you're talking about now. Yeah. He's in a lot of stuff. There are a lot of people that I don't know if they got their start here, but they were in this and they're in other things.
Yeah.
That you would maybe not know their name, but when you see them, you're like, oh yeah, I've seen that person before.
Definitely.
Kim Cattrall.
Yes.
Lots of comments on Kim Cattrall.
Yes.
Not her best role.
No. The green eyes worked.
Thickening the plot. Very overacted, as you said, probably by design.
Yeah, I would. It has to be.
I thought she was more over the top than anybody else. Probably her worst performance ever. However, I think she is a fine actress. And I like.
In all facets of the word?
I like Kim Cattrall.
Have we had a Kim Cattrall movie before? Because I feel like...
We haven't done Police Academy 4. We haven't done...
No, Police Academy 1. Police Academy 4 was Sharon Stone, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're correct. It was Police Academy 1. You are correct. Sharon Stone was 4. I got those mixed up. We haven't done Mannequin.
No.
Hollywood. Right.
I like that movie, though.
I know. That's what Hollywood, that's what his deal is.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't need to go through a catalog. The reason I say it is because I feel like I've brought Porky's up before to other people.
You brought Porky's up on this podcast. Yeah.
Good God. That's what I'm saying. Why did I bring up Porky's? Anyways.
I don't know. Did we bring up Sex and the City?
I don't know. It might not even have been her. It might have just been Porky's, and then Kim Cattrall is a major part of that. She's a bit part, but major influence on young adult males.
Yeah.
I guess some girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, she's cool. I never really watched Sex and the City, but she was in Star Trek VI, as everyone knows, of course, The Undiscovered Country.
I don't know that one.
No?
Oh, so I didn't know this. I knew she was born in England, but she was raised in British Columbia.
No, that would explain that funky accent of hers.
Yeah, she does have a funky accent.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on Kim Cattrall?
No, I'm a fan. Yeah, she overacted, but I feel like that was the, like you said, by design, but also just...
And her name, Gracie Law, and she's a lawyer.
And she's a lawyer.
Yeah.
That's not really, that's hardly her fault.
No, I'm not saying that.
I feel like I'm the biggest Kim Cattrall defender right now.
You are.
Well, Porky's meant a lot to me when I was a kid.
Okay, all right.
But yeah.
I love Police Academy 1, even though we don't see anything there. Dennis Dunn.
I'm going to let you take the reins on the majority. I've heard of the top five, and after that, and then Al.
Okay. So
what do you know Dennis Dunn from?
I really only know him from this. I know I've seen him in other things.
Yeah, he looks
Prince
familiar.
Of Darkness, Year of the Dragon.
Huh.
But a crazy thing that I read about him was he was not trained in martial arts before this movie. He learned everything that he did. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of stunt doubling going on for him. But there's a couple of scenes where he's like whipping that sword around.
Yeah.
Like he knows what the fuck he's doing. So I thought Dennis Dunn was good. He was probably he played it more straight than anybody in the film. Beyond the wacky tales that they tell of Chinese lore. That's another question I have. Is this legitimate Chinese lore? Is this actually things? Like is Lo Pan like someone that is in Chinese history or in mythology?
I read up on this movie because it seems straightforward. Like we're doing a podcast about it, but there's only so many times you can say how much you like the movie without you got to think about it. But I did some research on it, and that is the understanding I got, is that it is based on some lore, some Chinese lore. And I was happy to see that, don't get me wrong. And the way they keep saying Chinese black magic, I was like, that's a thing too?
Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. I'll take it. I don't want to encounter it, don't get me wrong.
But is it something like
that's, my understanding, yeah.
This is how white I am. I don't know. Because it's like, it seems far-fetched. But then again, I don't know. Maybe that's...
Didn't it seem... You know how like something... Sometimes like the truth is more boring than fiction. And like the whole... He needs to marry a girl with green eyes and then drink her blood and become young. I'm like, that's pretty basic bad guy arc.
Yeah.
So it almost seems like a real mythos from a culture, a different culture. So I'm down.
Yeah.
Like they picked one small part of it. But yeah. So my understanding from what I read was that it was based in part on some Chinese lore.
Okay.
To what extent, I do not know.
All right. Next, I'm going to move on to James Hong.
Yeah.
James Hong, if you don't know him, you definitely know him. The dude has 468 credits to his name. He was born in 1929. He is still alive.
Yeah.
So 95 years old, 96, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
He is... Things I remember him from, he was in Beverly Hills. No, he was not Beverly Hills Cop. I'm sorry. That's a different guy. He was in The Fifth Element. He was like the noodle vendor, The Fifth Element.
That was him?
Yeah. Yep. He played a recurring role as a waiter in a Chinese restaurant in Big Bang Theory.
Oh, wasn't he the Seinfeld? Like the...
He was. Yes.
The maitre d' or whatever.
Yes, he was. Yeah. But he was also in Big Bang Theory. He's in just, I'm sure there, I know there's more that I'm missing here, but he's known for...
He did the voices in Kung Fu Panda. Yeah.
Kung Fu Panda. Yeah.
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 He was in something else that slipped my mind, but yeah.
Yeah. He's in so many different things, but very good character actor. I want to say maybe a little typecast, shocker, Asian, but that's
high pitched voicey.
Yeah. 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 And actually,
I liked it.
I liked how he played Lopan. Very funny. I thought Lopan's lines were hilarious.
Yeah, he's a lot more funny than I remembered as
remembered.
A kid.
Yeah. And then when he's turning into like he's becoming real again or whole again or whatever, and just how he's all giggly and shit. It was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious. I got two more I'm gonna do. Well, That's three good. More. Three more. Okay. Sorry. Victor I'll Wong.
Just... Yeah. He's been around.
He's been around. He had a lot. How he looks in his face, how it's droopy, that's real. He had Bell's palsy.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep. The movie I really remember him from is The Golden Child.
No, that's so funny you bring it up because I definitely want to reference it in a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
Tremors. Don't forget, he played Walter.
That's right. That's right. He was in Tremors. He was in 7 Years in Tibet as well.
Okay. Missed that
one.
It
was a bit part, I think. That one. But yeah, so I liked him from what do you call it? The Golden Child. So Eddie Murphy. I want the knife, please.
Can I just say something real quick? Because before we get too far down, because you just brought up Golden Child, and that's a perfect segue. I was trying to think of, other examples of movies that like scared me that I didn't give another chance until many years later. And this was one of them.
Okay.
Because of the freaky parts and Golden Child. It wasn't, I don't even remember if there was a lot going out that was so scary, but do you remember when there was like, they were trying to, the Golden Child had to eat blood or something?
Blood, yes.
Oh, and they put some in his like oatmeal and they pushed down on the oatmeal and blood came up. That part freaked me the fuck out when I was a kid and I never watched it again. And I really like Eddie Murphy. And I'm like, I've never given another shot because of that, man. And then so it was that and this and then a couple other things. It took me a while to give Ghostbusters another shot because of the scary ghost in the beginning.
Yeah.
Which is embarrassing. But we did that on this podcast, I think. So
that's right. Yeah. I couldn't watch Pee-wee's Big Adventure because of Large Marge.
Large Marge.
Yeah.
That's what when I was describing this to Mrs. Cousin Bailey, I was like, John Carpenter. She's like, really? John Carpenter did this? And I go, yeah. And I go, you'll know because of some of the like the Large Marge parts. I know he didn't do Pee-wee's Big Adventure, but that's so funny you bring that up because that's exactly how I described like the monster and when the guy's turning fat and explodes, one of the things. So there was just too many things as an 8-year-old or whatever when I watched this that I was like, forget it. I'm out. I'll go watch Star Wars for the billionth time.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways.
All right. Two more. Let's hear them. They'll be quick. One will be quick. Peter Kwong. I just want to bring up Peter Kwong. He's been in a lot. He was also in Golden Child. He was Tommy Tong in Golden Child. I know that movie very well. It's one of my favorite all-time movies.
Clearly.
But what I did not know, what I didn't connect the dots. And when I was researching this, he is in a movie that I haven't seen probably since the 80s or maybe the early 90s. He's the brother in Gleaming the Cube.
Really?
He's Christian Slater's brother.
What? I only saw that movie one time.
Yeah. It was Tony Hawk skateboarding, not Christian Slater, by the way, people. So.
How dare you, sir?
I know. And the last one is Susie Pye.
Okay.
Is that how you say her name?
I don't appreciate you asking me.
Okay. Anyway, so good old Susie.
Yeah.
Good old Midwest girl from Toledo, Ohio. She was the, what do they call them? The penthouse?
Pet.
The pet. Yes. She was the pet.
Sorry.
Pet of the month in 1981.
Are the pictures out there?
I may have seen the pictures. Yeah, they're pretty good.
I'm not interested.
Her acting chops, not very well. Matter of fact.
Internet, I thought she was in on it half the time.
Yeah. Internet Movie Database said that she just gave up on acting early on. And yeah. But
she left her mark.
Yeah, she had her penthouse thing. She had green eyes.
Not really interested.
Yeah. Sue Frances Pye.
Yeah. She made it.
Oh, she was also a cheerleader for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hell yeah, she was.
There you go. So that's all I have for cast. I don't know if you have anybody else.
No, that you actually had two more than me, so you're good.
Okay. We didn't talk about Kurt Russell.
No. Let's talk about him. I love Kurt Russell.
I fucking love Kurt Russell.
All right.
Best Kurt Russell movie.
To me?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of... Why don't we talk about them real quick? My first thought is Tombstone.
Okay.
Because I love Tombstone, though. I didn't want to overthink it, is what I'm saying. I know I love Tombstone, and there he is. Did you ever see Bone Tomahawk?
I did not.
Well, that is a tough watch. It is a Western horror.
Okay.
It's about these cannibals that, like, it's an old West movie, 1800s, and these cannibals kind of sneak into it, like a raiding party into a town, kidnap some people, and Kurt Russell leads like a party with Patrick Wilson and a bunch of other people. I think Clancy Brown's in it. They head on out and they encounter the cannibals, and boy oh boy, it is brutal. There's one of the most brutal, disgusting scenes I've ever seen in my life in that movie, and Kurt Russell's in it.
Okay.
So I'll describe it in the green room.
Okay.
But anyways, I don't know. Why don't you tell me your favorites? Because I know you're a guy who loves. And
I think Tombstone, just because it's fucking Tombstone, right?
Oh my god, I forgot about one. Oh my god, Jesus.
Tango and Cash.
I love Tango and Cash, but I forgot. Yeah. I can't believe I forgot about Captain fucking Ron.
Captain Ron. Filmed in Puerto Rico, San Juan, and almost every location they filmed, I have been and been drunk.
That's fabulous.
Yep.
Backdraft.
Backdraft.
Frankly, I like Stargate. I liked Executive Decision. I like Breakdown.
Overboard?
Yeah, of course I liked Overboard.
Overboard's a fantastic movie.
It's not one I'm watching all the time, but what did you think about The Hateful Eight?
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah, I'm not. It's so epic. That, you know what, and I hate to be a prude here, but maybe it's my age, but if they had cut back on the disgusting blood throw up and and maybe a little of the racial shit, I probably would watch that movie like once a year.
Okay.
But it's just got a little too, it's like they're, I don't know.
Did you watch?
I hated everybody. Sorry.
Did you watch Miracle?
Of course.
Okay.
He was great in that. He's playing a real person. I don't know. There's just something.
Yeah.
It was good. But it's mostly about the story is basically what I'm saying.
He was in another movie and I can't remember the name of it where he plays like a sheriff or something. And it was almost like a Twilight Zone.
Huh.
Type of deal. I want to say late 90s, early 2000s. I can't remember.
Okay, you're not screwing with me here.
And he may be uncredited for this.
Oh, okay. Role.
Like, it was a very small part.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But let me tell you, man, Captain Ron is on my list of not guilty pleasures because I have no guilt about it, but I love that movie. It's so ridiculous.
It's so awful.
Yeah. Backdraft, so great.
Backdraft is fantastic. Huge fan. Spoiler alert, I wish he didn't die.
Yeah. You go, we go.
Yep. But no.
Especially since he was redeemed. I feel like Rebecca De Mornay probably would have given up the booze.
Yeah, I think so. I would have for De Mornay back then. Yeah. Talk about a person I forgot about. Yeah. But so his acting in this, a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
But it almost ties in that Western. It's almost like he's playing John Wayne.
Yeah. That was one part of his inspiration.
Yeah. Definitely has that way about him. How about his boots? Can we talk about his boots?
Please.
Those things went all the way up to his knees.
Yeah. I noticed there was something funny about him. I didn't pay as close attention, but yeah.
And they were laced all the way up. But
was that like an 80s thing? Because I'm not saying like everybody did it. Like people had those embellishments.
I don't know. Maybe it had something to do with the, because I don't recall those types of boots. I've only seen them on him.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just this whole like get up like the cowboy, like they're like cowboy boots. He has right. A saddlebag.
Oh, no, he definitely thinks he's a cowboy. In fact, as you said, it was written as a Western. So they're originally conceived as a Western, and they kept some of those thoughts. I think, if I'm not mistaken, in one early draft, he got up and his horse went missing. He got into town and his horse was missing, not his truck.
Okay.
And there is something to be said about that.
Yeah. I just wish the acting wasn't over the top, but I know that's what it is about
I mean,
in this movie.
It's funny. Like, I only watched it a little bit when I was younger. Even when I was older, though, I guess I didn't really get that. And I don't know if it's just maybe because we brought this up very recently and it was a coincidence that my wife and I had been watching it or had started it a couple weeks ago and then had to put a pin in it. But he's a dumbass.
Oh, yeah. He's an idiot.
I'm not breaking ground or breaking any news here, but I didn't remember him being like that. I remember in my head vividly like his being a badass and that wasn't necessarily the case. He was tough, but dumb, like almost too dumb to realize how dangerous it was. I don't know.
So I do have a question for you.
Ah.
Kurt Russell, Jack Burton. His big rig was named Pork Chop Express.
Makes me hungry.
What would you throw on those?
Golly, man, you'd have to throw some barbecue sauce on them pork chops. Put them around that smoker. Give them a reverse sear. Oh my God, that does sound good.
It does.
I have to do that this weekend. And coincidentally, this portion of Automatic Rewind is brought to you by Pandemic Sauce Company. Amidst a worldwide pandemic and lockdown with nothing but time on his hands, a friend of the podcast started experimenting in his kitchen to occupy his time. He soon discovered a knack of combining a variety of peppers with fruit juices to create some unique barbecue sauces. After sharing his sauces with family and friends, he has now decided to share them with the rest of the world in the goal to become your new favorite sauce. That's Pandemic Sauce Company, pandemicsaucecompany.com. Enter code Automatic Rewind at checkout for a discount. Before you even ask, I want a little heat. And that's for me, the habanero, mango habanero. That's a great one for, I would love that on some pork.
So I guess enough about the pork chops there.
It made me hungry though.
I know. Pandemic sauce people. All right. So back to it. I just want to bring up a couple things, little things that I noticed. Number one, Jack and Gracie have a weird relationship. Jack wants it, Gracie doesn't. Then at the end, it kind of flips. I think that's because I'm going to get a little political here. I'm pretty sure that Jack would wear a MAGA hat today. And I'm pretty sure that Gracie Law would be at a Gaza Palestine protest.
Oh, God.
What do you think?
I think that those assessments line up pretty well.
Yeah, because back in the 80s, everybody got along. It didn't matter what you're thinking. Everybody wanted to bang. That's not true.
Yeah, though. Yeah. That was really progressive of John Carpenter to presume that the people who are together or seemingly together, will they, won't they, throughout the entire thing, didn't end up together. Now, yeah. I heard it was less like chivalrous and more just Jack's an idiot. Just another testament to Jack being a moron.
Yeah. But he's a good looking guy.
No, of course he's a good looking guy.
Kurt Russell's a good looking guy.
Kind of reminds you of that, like that song, I Should Have Been a Cowboy, like by Bobby Keith.
Yeah.
He'd never stay there. Anyways, yeah, I thought that was funny. That did catch me by surprise, though, this last rewatch, because it had been so long. You just presumed they'd end up together. It was good.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
funny.
And I didn't notice either that it flipped, right? Where he was all over her.
Yeah.
And then she wants him and he's like, nah, I'm out.
Yeah, that was funny. Obviously they have their own way of knowing what's right and wrong, the writer, but it seemed as though she was on the same page as us, that they were inevitably going to end up together.
Yeah.
Considering they were the only two single people left in that room.
Yeah, exactly. And dude, how about this? In that room, when I can't remember her name, the reporter.
Yeah.
When she's, you're not even going to kiss her?
Yeah.
And he just looks at her and is like, nope.
That was the thing. I expected him to have a more like Han Solo kind of line, because right. She said, you're not even going to kiss her goodbye.
Yeah.
And he turned around and I was like, okay, the perfect line to say is, I'm not saying goodbye. You know what I mean? In other words, I'm coming back, because they had teased the idea of him getting a bigger truck with room for an apartment for two.
An apartment for two.
Yeah, you're right. Now that I think about it, like half of her, a third of her role, she was catatonic. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
so maybe that's why I gave her a little bit of more of a pass. And like I said, those green eyes, my goodness gracious. What's funny, when I was watching it, was Mrs. Cousin Bailey. She was like, I remember so many things about this movie. I loved it when I was a kid. She loves this movie. And so she's telling me all these things. She's in that beautiful Asian girl with the green eyes. And I'm like, damn girl, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
So, I thought that was funny. That was something that stuck out in her brain since she was a kid. The green eyes is definitely iconic.
It's like iconic. Another thing, I'm pretty sure one of the guys that fights for the red team is white.
Is that right? I just like the way you put that whole thing. I'm sorry. One of the guys that fights the red team is white.
And he's reoccurring. He's in that one fight in the street where we first see Lopan. I don't know. He's just some bit actor, but it's like, that guy's white. He's white as shit. He looks like Danny McBride.
Jesus.
It's like, what are we doing? Like, he's fat. And oh, here's another thing too. One of the guy that's underneath the they go running and hiding from Lopan in that scene. He's one of the yellow guys.
Uh-huh.
And like he's speaking Chinese. It has nothing to do with him speaking Chinese. Did he sound deaf or retarded?
Oh, yeah.
Slow. Sorry. Can I say? I don't know. But
I don't know. Probably can't say the second part.
Slow. Okay. So.
No, that's the third part. The second part. The R word, I believe.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying.
Upon. Oh, yeah. Sure.
I'm just saying.
No, but I think so.
He's a hell of a fighter.
What? I'm not going to comment. It's not that I don't agree. I don't know what we're going to say to make this podcast get banned. So we're not going to say that.
We're good. We're good. A couple other things. This is mainly around because I stopped taking notes. But the first fight scene. So when the storms come, or is that what they're called? The storms?
Yes.
So
the three storms.
Yeah, the three storms. When they come, the red and the yellow are fighting against them combined.
Yeah.
Like if you look in the scene and then all of a sudden it's, oh, wait a minute. The red guys are actually with them and with Lopan. So I thought that was a little confusing. I don't know. Maybe Lopan paid them off or something. Who knows? But
yeah.
So there was that. It was just like a little bit of I don't know.
That was probably the one. It was obviously the only fight that I think went on a little
too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. Enough.
Yeah, it was crazy too, because they all start out with guns.
Right.
Not all of them, but they have guns.
Yeah.
And then they end up just going to handheld weapon, like non-firearm weapons.
Projectile.
Yeah. 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 Which, by the way, I love how the one guy in this fits how the script is supposed to be. It's like he's a gunslinger. Yeah. He's got the 2 6 shooters on his hip, but yet he's going through his whole like martial arts thing to get to the six the shooters to draw. It's fucking awesome. I love that part.
That was really unique. I remember because that was definitely something that didn't stick out the one time I watched it as a kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely something I really like about it. That's another example of the East meets West kind of vibe, which I totally loved.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder if I'd like some of those, if I like that Shanghai Noon movie. With Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You said Owen Wilson. He might have lost me on that one.
Wow. All right, good.
Another part from there, or another thing from there that I found hilarious. Jack Burton is blinded, but a little puddle water will fix that right up for you.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Okay, give it a go. Okay. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Oh. So, yeah.
Dude.
Those are my observations. I have one more, but I'll let you throw out any.
The couple of things I mentioned in the green room that I think it's so funny that he was modeling himself after John Wayne, but you know how bumbling he is. And it's so funny, even like the little things, like how he totally deservedly, but he took the check from what's his name at the end. He totally deserved it. Yeah, Wayne. It was his money. It was the guy bet him. He lost and paid him and all that stuff. But if it was like a true Western, I feel like he would have given the money back. But then I'm thinking about what's his name, Clint Eastwood, and a lot of his movies, The Man with No Name. Money was his only true objective. Even after he obviously doing the right thing came along with it, money was his goal. That's not actually unrealistic for a Western, excuse me, especially a spaghetti Western though. But what's his name? Anyways, sorry, I'll come back to that. The part in the elevator, as I was saying, on the after they've taken the magic potion, when they're all hyped up, that's just one of my absolute favorite moments in this movie. I don't know why, but it just, you know, I totally, they've just taken it. It's like when you've just done a shot and you're just feeling it kicking in. Basically, he just goes, I feel pretty good. I'm not scared at all. I feel kind of invincible. And then they're like, yeah, like they're all agreeing and everyone's nodding along. And then right before the scene ends, he goes, anyone feeling it? Is it getting hot in here?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. And then he shoots the ceiling and the ceiling collapses on him. And he misses Lopan at the end. And there's just, I don't know, it's like he goes from being a complete idiot to saving the day to being an idiot to working. And then there's an argument, of course, that he's not even the hero, which is makes total sense to me. Don't get me wrong. It's just, I thought that was, he's like the bumbling assistant, or sidekick, I should say. But no, and then I don't know, it's just the reference, the Three Storms, they modeled some characters for Mortal Kombat, the video game, after them, which totally makes sense. And I don't know, it's just funny caring so much for John Carpenter's work and then having this kind of lighter movie. It's almost like if you had to watch a bunch of them in a row. What are you gonna say?
No, I'm agreeing with you. Yeah,
if you had to watch a couple in a row, this would be a nice little palate cleanser, especially after something as intense as like The Thing. But anyways,
yeah,
big fan.
So I love him in the whorehouse. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Harry Swanson's my name and excitement's my game. Cash or charge? Oh gosh, cash is not deductible, is it? It's like, what? Oh man. Yeah, he has a lot of really good lines. I have them written down here somewhere. I don't know. Oh, I'm a reasonable guy, but I've just experienced some very unreasonable things. That's right after the Lopan fight when they're in the restaurant.
Yeah, in the restaurant.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, man. Ugh.
Yeah. He's a great character. It's just, it's funny. And being from the 80s, 70s and 80s, as we are, growing up with these tough guys being the hero, it's hard to wrap my head around it. I can't understand why people didn't want to see it. It also apparently opened like in the shadow of Alien.
Oh,
the Aliens. Excuse me.
Well, whatever. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
No, it was like opened like a just before Aliens came out or something. So, which with all the hype, and people were really disappointed, even though it had good test audiences. It's just,
Yeah.
And speaking of aliens, I'm a huge fan, and there's a TV show on Hulu right now. Yeah. It's just, that shit's still getting talked about. So can you imagine? Some people think Aliens is better than Alien. I think they're both great.
Yeah.
Totally different movies and great. So I'm not going to do that, but.
This came out in 86. That was held in 86. So what about? Because I looked at 86 and so it went up against Out of Africa, The Color Purple, things like that. But shit, it came out with. Wasn't really good. Children of a Lesser God. Platoon won best film that year.
Mets won the World Series.
Mets won the World Series. Yeah.
Wow.
But no, yeah, as you said, this was a flop at the box office. I don't even know how much it made, but big cult following. And I think those movies resonate a little bit more, at least with me, the ones that turn into like cult following,
yeah,
that kind of flop. Like they just do Super Troopers, right? I love Super Troopers. That was a huge flop.
Wasn't Dazed and Confused, didn't it like get more of a cult following?
Yeah, Dazed and Confused, definitely. I think that was more of a cult following from our generation, though, because it came out in our generation when we were in high school. And I think we could just, even though it took place in the 70s, we could relate to it.
Oh, yeah. I think every high schooler can relate to that. Plus the sentiments.
Yeah. You still think they do? I know we've...
Oh, no, not now.
Oh, what, you okay.
The phone generation?
Yeah,
you can't
yeah,
even see their face? No, I'm not talking about...
Can you imagine like a senior picking on a freshman now? I'll probably get charged with like aggravated assault.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah. No, but I can see how this movie didn't do very well, but I like it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I get why it didn't do well, but I love just that, like I said, the efficiency of it. I'm not sure if I used that word earlier. You know, I was saying how tight it was. That's what I mean. Like the plot moved and moved. There was hardly any wasted time.
Yeah.
And that, it says a lot about John Carpenter, considering he didn't have to rely on fear as he does in a lot of his movies appropriately. And I'm not coming down on him. He actually had to like kind of keep the story going, and it worked.
Yeah. And I think too, because I was thinking about this when I was rewatching it, this story took place in the matter of a day and a half.
Yeah.
2 days, maybe max.
2 days.
Because they kidnap her, they go after her, like she's kidnapped. They basically immediately go after her, like soon after, same day. Then they come back. Then they go after her again. They regroup, and then they go again.
And they all go out after her.
Yeah.
And that can't be more than a couple hours.
Yeah. I mean, there's the... So they go after Lopan. They come back, whorehouse. Did they go back after the... Yeah, they went back after the whorehouse. Then they went back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 2 days?
Yeah. Yeah. So they had to make it like tight, like it happened. Because I was like, how come Lopan didn't just marry her right away? Maybe like this only took place in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
But
they did some good makeup too.
They did.
It's cheesy. You know what? I remember something else that kind of weirded me out. Very 80s. Have the temple in the bottom underneath at the end, how it had not fluorescent, but like those colored light,
neon lights.
Neon. Yeah. That's the word. I was trying to think of that word earlier. That had the neon lights.
Yeah.
It was so bizarre, but
very
I care. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very 80s, but for an ancient type situation down there. Oh, no, I guess it wasn't ancient. Or was it? I don't know. It's just funny, man. This is going to sound terrible. It made me hungry. It made me want Chinese food.
Yeah.
In Chinatown. I bet
in
you
Chinatown.
Amazing
yeah.
food.
Yeah. I mean, there's, it's focused around a restaurant. You got Jack Burton when he's eating that sub, when he's driving, talking on the CB radio. Like, he's eating that sandwich. I'm like, man, I remember I used to love Subway.
Yeah.
I still kind of like it, but there's better options. And then, he's in Chinatown. And he's ordering the food. Like, man, imagine if you lived in Korea. I bet that would be amazing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that really what we're doing here?
No, we're not going to do that here. Not right now. But no, so
I know.
I think we may have run as far as we can with this one. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally, man. I feel good. I feel
okay.
Feel invincible.
It's all in the reflexes.
No, this is great. That's right. No, I love it. I love it. I think this is a great call. You really got to get out there and watch it if you haven't. And if it's been a long time, if you don't remember, I would highly recommend you give it another shot. Yeah. Shot.
And buy it. It's $5.
Yeah. Big damn deal.
Yeah. $5. That's cheaper than a gallon of milk, right? I don't even know anymore. But I
think you're right.
Yeah. Awesome. Any final thoughts, buddy?
No, man. This was great. I think more Kurt Russell in the works. And in the green room, I'm going to tell you how Bone Tomahawk ended. Ugh.
Okay. Awesome. Where can everybody find us?
Sure. First of all, let me just say, I want to thank our sponsor, Pandemic Sauce Company. That's pandemicsaucecompany.com. Enter code BOURBONBOYS at checkout for a discount. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, follow, and share this episode with your friends. And if you have any movie suggestions for us to review, send them to Cousin Bailey, C-U-Z-Z-I, and B-A-I-L-E-Y at gmail.com, or reach out to us on Instagram at Automatic Rewind, all one word, or on X at And Cuz.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything else they should be listening to out there?
Don't forget that now that the college football season is right around the corner, the Bourbon Boys, also available on Apple Podcasts and other podcast platforms, have released our season preview for the 2025 year. That's SEC football, including all the teams that we quickly reviewed, I think. Actually, pretty tight episode itself, given the amount of crap that we had to go through. But that is with Gus, myself, Cousin Bailey, Malt Liquor, and Dr. Terrific, our producer. So that's a great one, and it's always good for some laughs and some drunk Bourbon Boys.
Awesome. For Cousin Bailey, I'm Gus.
So in Bone Tomahawk.